Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are speaking from the studios. We're actually, it may have a little bit of an echo today just due to the fact that we've made some modifications and or reverberation because as I mentioned at the end of the year, we were doing a bunch of transitions for the IT and so forth, and we're also doing facility renovations. Anyway, let me just inform you that it's not a coincidence that it's becoming more and more frequent that I am unable to connect and broadcast. Some of you have, you know, piped up, hey, what happened to your show? And you've realized that I'm not, what you're not getting is what you were expecting because it's not a live show or a new show. Every day I have a show ready to go. And as I've told you, I've been doing every single one of these shows I've had to do pre-recording because we've got all of this work to do. Long story short, I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm not able to connect to our broadcasting server, which is in a different country. It seems like all the other hosts with Red State Talk Radio have been able to get their live broadcast through, and we do connect a live broadcast, even though it may be pre-recorded, but nevertheless, it's not something that we just pipe and they play as a, you know, a show. We actually do the live playing of the show from our facility. So anyway, long story short, it's not a coincidence that we're being denied the ability to connect, and so we're doing everything we can to work out these types of kinks so that these types of problems don't persist anymore. So that's why we're doing these renovations. That's why we're doing these transitions and so forth. So anyway, you are listening to the only show that will provide you the academic evidence-based solutions to what it really takes. Forgive me. I have a bit of a frog in the throat. But anywho, I want you to know that we go out of our way to try to give you all of the academic information to prove our point, to actually lay a foundation that says, you know, this is what we have to stand on. And so as you understand all of that, then you can understand that we have actually some standing and some base. Now, I've said this, and so those of you who may have missed this, I'm actually going to make a post on Facebook and write an article on this. I'm doing a couple of different articles. But I believe that we should use the Chinese debt that they owe, in other words, that we owe of them, that they own our debt. We should cancel the appropriate amount of debt to pay for whatever the economic cost is. Now, when I say the economic cost, we should be constitutionally refunded on the constitutional behaviors that we should be instilling. So California has gone way overboard by violating the Constitution in, you know, mandating everybody stay in place. They've taken away your First Amendment rights of assembly, expression, and so forth. They do not have that power, nor do they have that ability. Well, they have the ability to be thugs, but the Constitution doesn't allow it. So they should be punished, and they should, and California should not be subsidized for being tyrannical. But there are things that they may have, you know, that your businesses or people in California may be eligible for being refunded for doing the right thing and shutting, you know, willingly shut down and so forth. So some of the things need to be paid for economically, but I believe the state of California owes it to those people, and I believe every business should have a class action lawsuit against the state government of California for exceeding its boundaries. It's one thing, like I've said, it's one thing to pass a law that imposes quarantines on people who are sick, people who are exhibiting sick, exhibiting the symptoms, and or people who have been tested and they have been identified as a positive carrier or have the virus themselves. Even if you only have the flu, you should be quarantined. And therefore, I think that California should be able, and any state should be able, to quarantine any person that is a carrier of a harmful substance. No doubt in my mind, viruses are harmful. People die of the flu all the time. And you've heard me go into tirades over this issue. But anyway, I believe that we should be able to cancel the debt to pay the states what they need to recover for the damages done, the harm caused by China allowing this. And instead of having to go to court, we should just cancel whatever debt that they've had, because as a, you know, just like, you know, they take debt and we are willing to accept that debt, they have to be willing to accept the responsibility of not allowing us and or the rest of the world who they do trade with actual harm. We've been directly harmed. People have died. We've had to, you know, go into these irrational measures. And I want to get into some of this. So we got a lot to do. So this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. So what we want to do is we want to actually, you know, just kind of lay it out there. Are you absolutely entitled to inflict harm upon others? If you're sick, do you have the right? Are you protected to be able to go and inflict harm? Do you have a constitutional protection that says you can go anywhere while you're sick and cause harm? This is why I've been talking about this, and this is why GR has been very animated regarding the cost of commuting diseases, the cost of being able to transmit a virus that you picked up. As a matter of fact, if you pick up a virus because you went to work and somebody there, you know, at work brought the virus with them, they thought they were good enough to go to work, because the work doesn't pay for sick pay, the work doesn't, you know, cover those costs. I honestly believe the employees that get sick from that one employee that came because of the policies of that company, I think that they should be able to sue for lost wages. And, you know, it's one thing to sue for, what do they call that, damages and suffering and so forth. You know, nine times out of ten, that doesn't play well. But I believe that everybody should be compensated for their lost wages. And I believe that that employee that came to work, even if the employer did not share that responsibility, I think as human beings, we all need to be responsible for ourselves. We need to be responsible for our own actions. So I believe that employee should bear a portion of the cost. And I believe the employer has, because it created an environment that requires that you have to work, because they won't cover your lost wages if you're sick to protect their other employees. This is why I would like to see these types of laws actually passed, so that people can actually go after, whether it's a small business, I know it'd be hard to affect a small business that way, but I mean, what can you say? You are not entitled to inflict harm upon others, and when you are harmed, you are entitled to some level of compensation. Now, if somebody happened to die, let's say that person infected you, you didn't know, but that person had the symptoms, and, you know, because you walk into a conference room and that person was sick all over the place, nobody said anything. I think you could really spread the liability around a lot. If you got sick, you didn't know it, you became a carrier, you took it home and went and saw poor immune grandmother, your mother or what have you, and she ends up dying, I believe that there is even greater harm. Excuse me. So I truly believe that we should be able to pursue in court the compensation and or reimbursement for both the economic cost and sometimes even the greater cost of killing somebody, because that is the outcome of the flu. That's the outcome. People can die. And if somebody does, who should be responsible? You, because you went to work to do what you thought, you know, was a safe environment or should have been? Anyway, I don't want to play this all out. I do know that Judge Napolitano and others have been saying, oh, well, it's illegal to just quarantine people because you've been denied due process. No, I believe that the states can pass a law that makes it mandatory that if you're exhibiting symptoms, you've been identified in a test as positive for a, you know, for carrying or and having something, whether that be strep throat, whether that be some type of virus or what have you, then I'm here to tell you that you have to stay home or you are going to cause harm. And there is merit in putting more and more pressure on employers and even small businesses to come up with some kind of a system to allow you to have to obtain, you know, either back wages or what have you, work that off in some other way so that you can obtain full compensation for what, you know, what you're expecting to be able to make. You should not feel forced that you have to actually go to work so that you can infect others just because you've got to put bread on the table. I think we all have a responsibility to, you know, plan for bad days because everybody has bad days. Let's say you didn't catch it from work. Let's say you caught it from the school system. But anyway, I don't want to rub this in. When we come back, we have another interesting, I think, thread for you regarding the virus.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so I received an email from a friend. Her name is Sharon, and she received an email that she forwarded to me from a friend of hers named James. And so James kind of put together this argument of, you know, the origins and why America and why the world is being hit with this virus. And so, as I have said before, when it comes to politics, there is very little coincidences that occur. In other words, if all of a sudden somebody was saying that we need to do something, then all of a sudden a problem comes along that actually plays into that something we need to do to keep that from happening, then I'm telling you that that's not a coincidence. I believe that that was called a setup that, oh, you know, our banks are unstable, and then J.P. Morgan goes and does a run on banks, and the next thing you know, he says, see, look at this, our banks are unstable, and we need to do this to keep that. So we need to create this Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve did nothing on stabilizing our banks. And all of these downturns actually prove that. The Federal Reserve, in addition, is unconstitutional. But too many people praise J.P. Morgan for, you know, actually contributing to saving us. Anyway, let me get into this little this bit of information. I've already given you the fact that the Rockefeller Foundation had put out a report in 2010 that, and it's called Lockstep within that report, that if a pandemic came along, it would be a great opportunity for countries to create what they call lockstep scenario, where they step in and they actually create, the best way to put it is they create laws that lock down their citizens' abilities to be able to do anything. Now, I want you to think about that. If you look at what's happened from this pandemic, that's exactly what, you know, every country that has been faced by this, most every country has implemented, you know, shelter-in-place concepts, even America and even Trump. Now, I was on the phone with somebody that's telling me that under the Stafford Act, Trump is going to give America this huge blessing of, you know, forgiving everybody's debt. You got a mortgage, you got all these problems, they're going to forgive this debt. Because under the Stafford Act, under emergency powers, the president has the ability to do, the federal government has the ability to do all of these good things. I'm here to tell you that none of those things are constitutional. None of them. Just like most everything that the federal government is doing already is unconstitutional. And so this whole Stafford Act is an unconstitutional act. It's not an amendment to the Constitution. But anyway, I've got these, you know, always Trumpers. You know, you got the never Trumpers and the always Trumpers in the conservative movement. And I am still standing in this in the middle with the big question, who do you trust and who's truly our friend? I believe our Constitution is our friend, and that's who we need to trust, and that's what we need to protect. Anyway, it's not a coincidence that just this past January, Netflix's new terrifying docuseries called Pandemic recently released as a new terrifying virus that has landed into real life. I mean, this is what they're trying to do. The docuseries push the need, if you watch this, it pushes the need for the Gates Foundation to receive, the Gates Foundation, Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation, to receive funding to carry on virus research to prevent the next pandemic. We should not allow billionaires to be able to, you know, possess foundations like this, just like Soros's Open Borders Foundation, which the Gates Foundation, or the, yeah, the, it's the Gates Foundation, is a part of, just like the rest of the elitists from Carnegie, Rockefellers, they all work together and they all pay each other's foundations to do bad things. The 18 October outbreak simulation did happen. The tax records show that the Gates Foundation has supported a company called Peerbright Institute in the past. And so if you understand, the Peerbright Institute owns a patent for a form of coronavirus that could potentially be used as a vaccine to prevent diseases in animals. Peerbright scientists do not currently work on human coronaviruses like the Wuhan strain. But the Bill Gates, and this is, I'm reading this out of the articles as well as some of the verbiage that this James had provided my friend. The Bill Gates, the tech billionaire, who co-founded Microsoft, has been given one of China's highest, and this is the truth, most all of these things I've actually cut out of the articles that have bragged or talked about this crap. Anyway, Bill Gates, if you didn't know this, he was just given China's highest academic honors, an accolade in which mostly is reserved for top scientists and engineers. November 16, 2015 article points out that the Wuhan virus was originally developed in North Carolina, at the University of North Carolina, by NIH grants. I don't know what the NIH stands for. I should have copied that, but forgive me. Anyway, these grants were approved by the Obama administration in 2012. You know, connect the dots, my friends. The NIH defunded the UNC research in 2016 when Obama was leaving office, and it was basically forced to go back to communist Chinese scientists left UNC and took their work to the newly built Wuhan lab in 2017, founded by Bill Gates and his pals. On Tuesday, January 28th, 2020, the Home Office, this is the Department of Justice, actually released this. And so this is news that you probably know, but I want to start connecting the dots. The Department of Justice announced that Harvard University professor and two Chinese nationals were charged in three separate China-related cases. The Department of Justice announced today, on that day, the 28th, that the chair of Harvard University's Chemistry and Chemical Biological Department and two Chinese nationals have been charged in connection with aiding the People's Republic of China, in other words, the Communist Party. Dr. Charles Lieber, 60, chair of the Department of Chemistry and Biology at Harvard University, was arrested this morning on the 28th of January this year and charged by criminal complaint with one count of making material false, fictitious, and fraudulent statements. Lieber will appear in the afternoon before the magistrate judge, it looks like Ms. Bowler, in the federal court of Boston, Massachusetts. Yang Ying Yi, who is 29, a Chinese nationalist, was also charged, and you know I'm bad with names, so forgive me, in an indictment today with one count each of visa fraud, making false statements, acting as an agent of a foreign government, and conspiracy. Yi is currently in China, so they haven't been able to arrest him. Unbeknownst to the Harvard University, beginning in 2011, Lieber became a, quote, strategic scientist, close quote, at Wuhan University Technology in China. So if you've heard about this, but if you haven't read the background on this, it seems to me that there's been a few things that are now pointing to ground zero of where this virus came out. And so he was awarded, he became a strategic scientist at the Wuhan University in China and was a contractual participant in China's, quote, thousand talents, close plan, close quote. So there's this plan that they have called the Thousand Talents Plan from in or about 2012 to 2017. China's Thousand Talents Plan is one of the most prominent Chinese talent recruit plans that is designed, and I want you to listen to this, that this plan is designed to attract, recruit, and cultivate high-level scientific talent in the furtherance of China's scientific development, economic prosperity, and national security. Now, whenever you use national security in tandem with a Chinese Communist Party or the Communist Party, period, what you just said is a militarization of that technology or that thing, weaponizing that thing that they just talked about. And so this Thousand Talents plan is a military plan. This is an operational plan. Now, I've said this before. China does not have the ability to project force, but they do have the ability to actually infect us and harass us with biological warfare, cyber warfare, warfare that they can reach out without using tangible force, visible tangible force, like a huge carrier group coming off the coast of the west coast of the United States and the east coast and descending upon us, you know, bombing us with atomic weapons and so forth. If you understand that they don't have that ability, they are using what they can right now while they believe they will be unfettered by the international community because they have such economic grasp on us that they'll be able to continue to build their war machine until they can project force and truly attack us just like in Pearl Harbor. This is their plan. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of this information after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so there is a lot more to that story. And you really need to go to the Department of Justice's website and read it. They're actually identifying, they're connecting dots for us to show that China has been deliberately doing these types of things. And again, it is not a coincidence that other things have been happening in the world, understanding what China is doing. Because did you know, on the 3rd of December in 2018, not 2019, when the pandemic had begun, or I should say, the operational biological warfare launched by China had occurred. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden in the middle of this broadcast or future broadcast, because I've been working with Lionheart and other, and I've been haranguing the fact that Trump needs to go after China by basically appealing to Hong Kong and Taiwan that they need to consider. Why don't you guys consider becoming a state of the United States? There's no reason why they can't. It's just a matter of taking the time to transition them. It won't happen overnight. It'll take years to transition them in the legal sense, in the financial sense, in every sense of the word, becoming a state in the United States. It will take them time. It'll take probably 30, 40 years. That's a full generation, my friends. And I also got into a debate over this concept with somebody on social media. They don't fathom you. When every state that enjoys liberty, the people of the world that want to embrace liberty, and they become partakers in this constitutional republic, how many wars do you think America would be entangled? How many foreign entanglements would we really have as we go through and clean this up? Do you think we would be setting ourselves up for another, what we would call, civil war? No, I don't think so, especially if we start enforcing the Constitution and keeping the federal government from playing these manipulative games. That's what Republic Review is for. Anyway, you know, there are lots of things that have to be done. Citizens' grand juries need to be restored. There's lots of things, but what I want to do right now is focus on connecting some dots for you. In December 2018, the World Health Organization stated, quote, a simulation for a global pandemic response involving more than 40 countries will take place 4 to 6 December 2018, coordinated by the World Health Organization's Global Emergency Center, the EOC, and by the EOC Network, a global network of health emergency operation centers. This is the first global pandemic response training exercise and the third in a series of simulations this year following regional exercises in Jordan and Senegal. National and regional emergency operations centers from around the world will take part in the interactive scenario, responding to emailed inputs from the World Health Organization, EOC. The scenario will revolve around an outbreak of influenza with pandemic potential on the fictional island nation of Mizzou. Now, what's Mizzou? Is that Missouri? But it's supposedly located off the coast of North America. Anyway, so this is all a scenario that they're creating. But the fact of the matter is that they actually did an exercise on this, and they felt pretty confident that they could deploy and use this opportunity to convince nations what they needed to do was, and instead of referencing the Rockefeller Report lockstep, what they're doing is they're basically just parroting that information without having to cite to it. This is what you need to do. You need to take away your liberties. You need to get people to shelter in place. Read that Rockefeller Report, the scenario lockstep. It talks about a pandemic and what countries need to do and how theoretically they'll be able to seize liberties and not have to release them, because people will be convinced that this is the way they can be saved. Anyway, the 29th of August in 2019, Stat News stated this, and this is STAT News. I think it's stat.com or whatever. If you want any of these citations or any of these articles to read for yourself, let me know. I'll be happy to post them, but I'm just really busy, so I'm not going to unless you actually ask me to do so. With new grants, the Gates Foundation takes an early step towards a universal flu vaccine. Scientific teams from inside and outside the world of influenza research have been awarded funding to try to unlock mysteries that could provide the foundation for a future universal flu vaccine. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Philanthropy Flu Lab have announced the funds up to $12 million will be awarded to as many as 8 teams of researchers, the Gates Foundation and Flu Lab announced Thursday at Options for Control of Influenza, the flu's world's largest scientific conference, currently underway in Singapore, just at the very south end of that area where China occupies. The maximum grant will be $2 million, and the funding will stretch over 2 years. Seven of the grants have been signed and were announced. Others remain to be finalized. Grantees include Yoshiro Kawoka, a star in the flu world who splits time between the University of Tokyo and the University of Wisconsin. But other grantees are new to influenza, hoping to leverage work on vaccines for HIV and some other virus, communicable virus. The announcement, because I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I already know my shortcomings when it comes to pronouncing words and those types of things. It's a long word. Anyway, the announcement comes a full year later than the Gates Foundation initially intended, with some significant changes from what the BMGF co-founder, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation co-founder Bill Gates, had laid out when he announced the funding opportunity. Now, here's another interesting article that you may want to read about, because this James threw out this article regarding nano vaccines, that they're going to be able to, within a vaccine, actually, you know, give you other things in that vaccine that you don't even know about. And one of those things is chips. They believe that, and they're asserting that we're going to be chipped by this vaccine. And so here's the interesting thing. One of the things that they also announced, and this was September 20th, 2019, and actually I've talked about the UN's plan of identifying everybody with biometrics. I don't believe that we will be chipped. I believe that it'll be your biometrics that you will need to register, because all of us that aren't in school, your children are being registered already without your knowledge. Did you know this? Many schools have implemented the BioID, getting your children's eye retina scans. They're going into the schools without even telling you. And they're doing this because it's just registering for identification purposes. And your kids are absolutely okay with it because they don't tell you, because they're being told by the administrators, their teachers, and so forth. Here, what we're doing is we're going to be, you know, registering your biometrics to protect you in case something happens to you. We'll be able to find you and be able to save you from bad things. And so most people don't even think, you know, well, why would I even bring that up? This is a good thing. I shouldn't be questioning good things. Anyway, September 20th, 2019, the biometricupdate.com announced that the ID 2020 Alliance has launched a new digital identity program at its annual summit in New York in collaboration with the Government of Bangladesh, Vaccine Alliance Gavi, and new partners in government, academia, and the humanitarian relief organizations. The program to leverage immunization as an opportunity to establish digital identity was unveiled by ID 2020 in partnership with the Bangladesh government's Access to Information Program. The Directorate General Health of Services and Gavi, according to their announcement, quote, "We are implementing a forward-looking approach to digital identity that gives individuals control over their own personal information, which still building off existing systems and programs," says Anir Chowdhury, policy advisor at this organization. Quote, "The government of Bangladesh recognizes that the design of digital identity system carries far-reaching implications for individuals' access to services and livelihoods, and we are eager to pioneer with this approach." They're already coming right out and saying that if you want to have accesses to services, work, or anything within society, you need to be a part. You have to register yourself, your identity, with this organization. And this is going to become government organizations that will be mandating this. And that's why it's happening in your school system as a part of the nefarious Common Core. Anyway, there's one more segment, so I'm really glad I can get through this. There's one more segment that I want to get through before I can get into some other stuff that I wanted to share with you, but I thought that this was very important. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so one of the things that you have to kind of look at, and I just wanted to share this one last dot for you. 9 times out of 10, when somebody does something that they know they were wrong, they usually stand and wait. It's kind of like the person that smelt it usually dealt it. You know that old kitty saying when somebody had flatulated? The fact of the matter is, there's no doubt in my mind that China knew that it was being a part of a dissemination. How do you think the whole world came down with this pandemic, or I should say how the flu just spread as well as it did, as efficiently as it did? There have been, and I'm not going to necessarily be one calling for this huge, what I'll say, concerted effort, but the fact of the matter is this. And let me give you the concerted effort first. There are some that are postulating that there were people that were a part of the deployment, that these people were carriers. In other words, somehow they were quasi protected, because they point to the people in the cruise staff as being carriers, but they didn't get really affected by it. And so if these things are true, if these things pan out to be true, it shows that there was an absolute coordinated effort by governments and the World Health Organization, organizations like the Gates Foundation, and so forth, that there was a level of collusion to help create this scenario of this so-called disease that was not going to kill a lot of people, but it's going to carry a level of fear that people will surrender their liberties. So here's the thing that proves to me that there had to have been some level of collusion and that China was directly involved in it, because China was instantly positioned when all of a sudden the Trump administration started calling this the Chinese virus or the Wuhan virus, or, you know, everything pointing to China in January. There's no doubt in my mind that when China turned right around and threatened us to take away our pharmaceuticals, things that they knew we were dependent on, folks, you got to recognize that China has never been an honest or even a good faith player in this economic game we've been playing with them. The fact that Nixon took us in there to give them the most favored nation status in the 70s and helped elevate China to become these great warriors in all of these different arenas is not a coincidence. Here's the wake-up call. The Chinese control of U.S. pharmaceutical supply sparks growing concern. This is another report. Again, if you want these articles, let me know. I'll post them, but at this point in time, I've just got too many other things I'm doing. As the war of words between China and the U.S. over the COVID-19 or the coronavirus heats up, Chinese state media have raised the specter of Beijing's pharmaceutical leverage to block critical components and supplies from dependent U.S. drug companies and send America into, quote, the hell of a novel coronavirus epidemic, close quote. While India and several European nations play critical roles in the global medical supply chain, China is among the top providers of active pharmaceutical ingredients, the basic components for antibiotics and other prescription drugs consumed by America are provided by China. My friends, there are no such things as coincidences. There is no such thing as the fact that China has gained this position and is now able to poke us in the eye and say, what are you going to do about it? Well, America, what are you going to do about it? Are we going to surrender our liberties, or are we going to take back our government and force the federal government to get back into the framework and then force at the state level all these companies and actually force the federal government to actually protect our strategic interest in no longer allowing them to be subjugated by any foreign entity? We can't allow our weapons and components and parts to be manufactured by a foreign country any more than we can allow our pharmaceuticals or anything else that's really a strategic interest. But the states have to articulate this. The states have to step up, and the states need to protect its citizens by ensuring that the federal government isn't allowing us to sell us downriver like what Bill Clinton did with giving away China all of our weapon secrets. I believe that the day must come when we actually hold the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton family, the Clinton cartel fully liable for the damages that they've done. Same thing with the Bushes. Same thing with the Obamas. Same thing with all the other globalist players that have been in our American politics, i.e. the Kennedys, Teddy Kennedy specifically. Anyway, so I'm going to leave it there. At least I was able to get through all of this stuff for you for going into the weekend. Now, what I have been telling people at a local level is that when your state governor, your state legislators have empowered your governor to seize your liberties by demanding that you shelter in place, you need to go to your county prosecutors, you need to go to your county sheriff and actually demand that they file charges and call for the arrest of your governor. because your governor has violated their constitutional oath per Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They need to be removed because they have violated their oath of office by taking away your constitutional rights of assembly. It's one thing that the governor quarantines those who were inflicted with the virus or have been tested positive to protect you from harm. They can quarantine those folks. But when they quarantine everybody, they've taken everybody's liberty. And so we have lost liberty. We are actually being treated with, you know, no due process. I get that. But more importantly, we are being denied. You can't even go to church in some of these states. You can't even go to, you know, to do conduct commerce. They're shutting down all types of businesses. And they're doing this in violation of their constitutional oath. So you need to get your, you need to start sending emails to your sheriff and your county prosecutor demanding the files be charged because your executive or your legislators have violated their oath and are now violating your constitutional rights. There is nowhere where a healthy person has the, you know, the government has no standing to take away your liberties and constitutional rights as a healthy person to be able to go out and peaceably assemble, to go and be able to worship as you please. These are your constitutional rights. This is one of the things we kind of covered with the common law. We'll get Brent Winters back in to talk more about this, but we want to get into the, you know, connecting the dots in this particular show. What we're going to be getting into in some of the upcoming shows is we want to get into, again, the resolutions. We want to get back into the property essay by James Madison. So we want to get into some of these peripheral types of documents before we get back into the ratification debate. So we have, you know, a few topics: American republicanism, the understanding of liberty and the scale of liberty, and how these people on the left are so hardwired that there is no way you're going to be able to unwire them in, you know, with an epiphany. Very few people ever get out of that type of mind paradigm, that mental I just call it deterioration or dementia that they're living in, because they truly believe that you must be compelled, that they have to use any means necessary to obtain their ends. With that, my friends, I want you to understand that you have constitutional rights. That's why you have to start demanding that we hold those public servants accountable. You also have to demand republic review. You have to demand that your elected officials, your sheriff, and those other people, these people need to understand these things. I truly believe that that's how you separate the, you know, the good from the bad. Is your sheriff a bad sheriff? Well, point out to him the constitutional standings of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, so forth, Republic Review, all of these things. If the sheriff just doesn't care, replace him. An election is coming up soon. Replace him. Even if the alternative is bad, it's equally as bad. If your sheriff is not willing to do the, you know, fulfill their oath of office in protecting you from tyranny, from unconstitutional government. That's why it's sometimes better to take another bad person, because they're equally bad. Anyway, we will be back in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming our republic, and we need your help. In our next episode, we'll cover the paragraph, the essay on property. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.